According to my memory, we were on slide 20, is that right?
Yes.
But I haven't really talked about 20 yet, right?
A little bit.
Okay, well, there's not really a hell of a lot to say about 20. This, like the whole chapter, really, this should be review for you. We're looking at a view, though, of the endoplasmic reticulum in both of its forms, the smooth and the rough endoplasmic reticulum. And I don't remember whether I mentioned that the membrane that makes up the endoplasmic reticulum is continuous with the outer membrane of the nuclear envelope, as you see right here. In fact, I think I do remember saying that. But what are the jobs of the endoplasmic reticulum? What did we say about the smooth? Lipid synthesis, calcium ion storage are important functions of it. And the rough endoplasmic reticulum is there to modify newly made polypeptides. Not all polypeptides make it to the endoplasmic reticulum, only ones that need modification and are targeted for either secretion or embedding in the plasma membrane. This brings up the notion, by the way, of... let me just ask you a question. There's all kinds of membrane-bounded organelles in a cell, in a eukaryotic cell, but the collection of the endoplasmic reticulum, the Golgi complex, endosomes, lysosomes, all of those together make up what subset, what collection of organelles? What do we call those collectively? Anyone know? Those are all members of what we call the endomembrane system. And so this is all about secreting things, which means sending them out of the cell, or embedding them in the plasma membrane. And so proteins that are either going to be secreted out of the cell or put into the plasma membrane start out being created in the process of translation at ribosomes that we call free ribosomes, because they're out in the cytosol, not attached to any membrane. And the cell realizes this is one of these polypeptides that we need to either secrete or embed in the membrane, so they get the whole ribosomal complex and the newly, in the still being made polypeptide get transported over to the membrane of the rough endoplasmic reticulum, which is why it becomes rough looking, because those ribosomes are now attached to that. And that feeds that new polypeptide into the lumen of the rough endoplasmic reticulum, which will then be modified, sent to the next member of the endomembrane system, the Golgi complex, which can undergo further modification. And how does the package of proteins get sent from the endoplasmic reticulum to the Golgi complex? Via vesicles, right? Vesicles are just little bags made out of membrane. All membrane material is basically the same. So a vesicle is created as it buds off of the membrane of the endoplasmic reticulum, and then it gets fused with the membrane of the Golgi complex, delivering that its package to the Golgi. It gets modified again and then put into a new vesicle that buds off the Golgi complex, and then that fuses with the plasma membrane, if this is going to be one of those proteins that gets secreted or embedded in the plasma membrane. Right? We're looking at, in 21, at just a photomicrograph of the Golgi complex. Looks similar to the endoplasmic reticulum, but it's even more organized into flattened disks. So there's a lot of membrane involved. And it's a polar organelle. By that I don't mean anything having to do with charge. I just mean that there are two different ends to it. So there's what do we call those ends, by the way? Cis and trans, right? So the cis face is the face closer to the nucleus. It's the incoming part of the organelle. It receives vesicles from the endoplasmic reticulum. The trans face is closer to the plasma membrane away from the nucleus, and it's the outgoing face of the organelle. But it's just a picture of this right here. We can see some vesicles traveling to as well. All right, 22. In this cartoon, we see secretion occurring. The secreted proteins are the little magenta dots on the cartoon. What is the process being used to secrete these things? Right, it is exocytosis. And exocytosis is a specific example of what more general term that describes one of the three major processes by which cells either take up or export materials. What is exocytosis an example of, in other words? Well, what are the three major transport processes by which cells can put things into themselves or put things out of themselves? That's a specific example of one of the three processes. Another specific example. How do things get into or out of cells? There's three major ways. Diffusion is a specific example of one of them. What kind of process is diffusion? Passive, right. That's one, passive transport, active transport, and the third, which includes phagocytosis and pinocytosis and exocytosis and endocytosis, those are all examples of what? Well, what do they have in common? What do pinocytosis, phagocytosis, exocytosis, and endocytosis have in common? How are the things being moved around in all of those cases? By vesicles, right. And therefore, they're all examples of vesicular transport, which is the third category. Okay? So vesicular transport is the broadest term. It just means any transport involving a vesicle, regardless of whether you're putting something out of the cell or taking it in. And there, but if you care about the direction, then you can break vesicular transport into either exocytosis, outward movement via a vesicle, or endocytosis, inward movement via a vesicle. And then in terms of endocytosis, which is not shown here, this is exocytosis, right? In terms of endocytosis, you can break that subdivision down further depending on the nature of the stuff being endocytosed, right? And those two subcategories are what we've already mentioned, phagocytosis and pinocytosis, which literally mean cell eating and cell drinking, respectively. The difference is really the size and the solubility of the stuff being endocytosed. So a large chunk of something that's not really dissolved in the exterior fluid will be phagocytized. It's more like eating from the viewpoint of the cell. Whereas a batch of solute particles that are dissolved will be engulfed by what we call pinocytosis, cell drinking. But other than that, the process is really the same. They're just examples of endocytosis. Well, we can see endocytosis happening in 23. So all of these pink things are really the same thing, four different snapshots in time. It's entirely outside of the cell at first. The plasma membrane starts to wrap around the package, and then when it entirely wraps around and fuses again, it forms a vesicle. And this demonstrates that vesicular transport in general, whether it's inward or outward, is really a kind of a cheating mechanism, because whatever is vesicularly transported really never goes through a phospholipid bilayer. It doesn't penetrate a membrane. Instead, a membrane forms around it and then gets unzipped. Right? So this thing, this pink thing, never passed through any membrane, but it's now inside the cell. And if you just unzip this vesicle, it's inside the cytosol specifically. 24, another photomicrograph, is just an example of phagocytosis. Actually, it's phagocytosis that's already occurred. This overall huge cell that we're looking at is an example of a macrophage, which is a large cell that specializes in phagocytosis. You have these things in your body surveilling your body continuously for invading organisms, which are usually bacteria, which are all these dark things with the arrows indicating them, that have been taken up by this macrophage to keep them from harming you. And in 25, which is the final slide of the chapter, we're looking at an organelle, not just this one that's labeled M, but this big circle are both enclosed by a large organelle. This is an organelle called a lysosome. Why are lysosomes so called? What does it literally mean? Lyse means to cut or to split, right? What's zome mean? Or some or soma? Body, right. So a splitting body is what a lysosome is. It's a membrane-bounded package of hydrolytic enzymes. Hydrolytic enzymes specialize in hydrolysis, as the name suggests, which means splitting things apart. Hydrolytic enzymes are dangerous things to have in your general cytosol because they might start hydrolyzing the things that you want to stick around in the cell. It would harm the actual cell contents. So these hydrolytic enzymes are sequestered in their own little bags with their own membrane enclosing them so that whatever needs to be digested in the lysosome can be done safely away from all the other cell contents. And sometimes what's being digested is actually an organelle of the cell that has seen better days, which is what's happening here. This M stands for mitochondrion. This is an old mitochondrion that's no longer up to par. It's full of valuable raw materials. It just doesn't work well anymore, so we're looking at the process of autophagy, or self-eating, really, is what that literally means. It's packaged into a lysosome, exposed to enzymes that are just going to dismantle it, and then the raw materials will be used to make new proteins and other materials. And that is that. Should we just stop or go to another chapter? Okay, I like the enthusiasm.